2008 Natural Products Expo West. Stevia, current science and promise for the future.
The first thing I want to tell you is that I intend for this presentation to be strictly educational. I'm not going to try to sell you my brand of stevia, because then I wouldn't be allowed to tell you what I want to tell you. And one of the reasons I'm taking this approach is there have been so many recent articles about stevia just filled with misinformation. And so I'm going to consider you all professionals. You have a right to know, although you cannot share most of the information that I'm going to give you with consumers. You all understand that. Stevia is a small plant. This is a shot of stevia plants. They grow very rapidly. Many people are buying the plants. They won't do well in a house because the sweetness is developed by the length of time the sunlight resides on the leaves. And the slightest frost will kill them. And the first hot, dry day in Arizona also killed them. Now, I'd like you to forgive me if I get a little passionate in what I say about stevia. As I mentioned, I introduced it to America over 25 years ago. I've fought the bitter battles ever since. My remarks will encompass these first 25 years and then what I believe the potential of stevia will be in the next 25 years throughout the world. The question today, with all that's going on, is simply, whom do you trust? The worldwide consensus of scientists and medical doctors are now united in stating the results of their research concerning stevia. They concur that stevia is safe to be used as a sweetener, as a food additive, as a food ingredient, and it provides significant benefits to the health and well-being of those who ingest it. For many people, using stevia daily will improve their quality of life. Stevia is more than a sweetener. And every scientific study published, and there are over 1,000, refer to stevia as a sweetener. So that's what we're going to talk about as we continue. Now, the competitive opponents to stevia have continued to mislead the public concerning the safety of this incredible herb and its extracted derivatives. Stevia's greatest foes have been the manufacturers and the marketers of chemically formulated sweeteners such as aspartame, NutraSweet and Equal, Sweet and Low, Splenda, and perhaps even the sugar industry itself. Other opposition has come from the pharmaceutical companies and some organizations in the medical and dental industries, the leaders of which feared a drop in revenue because of the dramatic health benefits of stevia. They've known about them for years. The FDA has been the greatest foe of stevia and the loudest advocate for the enemies of stevia, who fear the potential loss of revenue from a sweetener that does no harm. The FDA has gullibly accepted and promulgated negative statements, whether or not they have any true scientific validity, while totally ignoring the hundreds upon hundreds of studies declaring the safety of stevia, while at the same time denying the American public the right to be informed that stevia is sweet and will improve the flavor of food and beverages. Now, this is such a paradox. The FDA requires the label of every product being sold in the marketplace to state its ingredients, how many calories, how many grams of fat, etc. You all know the requirements. Except we cannot inform the consumer that stevia is sweet or that it improves the flavor of beverages and foods. Now imagine that. During this hour, I want to share with you the numerous benefits to the health and well-being that stevia offers to those wise enough to add it to their daily diet for the healing the body internally and externally. We will discuss how stevia will benefit the poor farmers of South America, which is its origin. The other countries, including its potential, and we'll discuss what it'll do for other countries, including its potential to reduce the growing of coca and marijuana, and thereby reduce the trafficking of these harmful drugs into the United States. It will also discuss how stevia has the potential to reduce hunger worldwide. I'd like to proceed by explaining how I learned about the numerous healing characteristics of stevia as I endured many, many difficulties and hardships along the way. In my struggles to make this incredible herb available to you and to all Americans. As we proceed, please understand that there has never, never been a published report from any country in the world of any adverse event from a human being ingesting stevia, either internally or using it externally. No such report exists. My passion for stevia began in 1982. I became the original pioneer, literally the defender of the faith, in the fight to bring stevia to Americans. I'd like to share with you how that came to pass. Prior to this, prior to 1982, I was one of the founders of the kidney dialysis program in Arizona. I was a pioneer in that medical therapy. I was a developer of successful treatment modalities and an innovator of new supplies and equipment and even a new concept in the design of treatment centers to improve the efficiency of the nursing staff and the safety of the patients. I served as a consultant to hospitals, to physicians nationwide, and to the chief of the End-Stage Renal Disease Bureau of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare in Washington, D.C. Then in 1982, I had a total change in career paths. A friend of mine called me, invited me to his home, said he had a very interesting young man who had just returned from Paraguay coming to visit him, and he thought that I'd really like to meet this young man. In the course of our conversation that evening, this young ex-Peace Corps worker began to make what I thought were totally absurd claims. He was telling me that the Guarani Indians in Paraguay made a tea of three rainforest herbs which would cure colds and flu in one day. Now, you understand what I said to him. In my background for the previous 16 years was in the medical side of things, and I just told him this was absurd quackery. He persisted, and I resisted. I just had a totally closed mind. Finally, I guess in frustration at my ignorance, he opened his briefcase, pulled out a little cellophane bag of green leaves, put one in his mouth. Our mutual friend put one in his mouth, and then they offered me one. And I said, no thanks. I don't put strange leaves in my mouth. You know, anyway, they just persisted. Just taste it. Just taste it. You'll really like it. It's just sweet and delicious. Try it. Well, I finally relented and thought, all right, I'll just put it to my lips. Well, it was delicious. Sweet. So I put it in my mouth, and the longer I held it in my mouth, the sweeter it got. The reality is, I was hooked. Before the night was over, now I should also say that he had with him several of the scientific studies published in Japan concerning the safety of stevia, and I glanced at those really quickly. As I said, I was hooked. I gave him my life savings in a check that night to go back to Paraguay the next morning to send me stevia leaves. I believed that I could interest some company or some wealthy American in the potential of what stevia could do. Now, obviously, I was wrong. You wives in here can appreciate my wife's reaction when I went home and said, honey, don't write any checks. I've given all our money to a young man who will be going back to Paraguay in the morning. It wasn't pleasant for several days. She, you know, really made me think about, and even though this was one of those nights, experience that you've all had, where intellectually you know something makes no sense at all, but in your heart you know you've just got to do it. And that was what I went through that night. But as I thought about it, you know, and my wife's comments, you know, I thought, what have I done? So I basically decided that when he called from Paraguay to tell me he was ready to ship the stevia leaves, I would ask him to send the leaves that he said would cure colds and flu in one day. I didn't believe it, but I thought I better get whatever I can for my money. Well, I did try them. If you're through a few episodes of the flu, it happened to be in the middle of the flu epidemic in Phoenix, the winters of 1982 and 1983. And to my amazement, the dozens and dozens of people I gave these leaves to were cured in one day. Now, one of the leaves was stevia. I thought stevia was in it just to sweeten the other rainforest herbs. I would learn in time that stevia actually kills harmful bacteria and viruses that cause these conditions. I was so stunned that I decided I had to go to Paraguay to see it for myself. I arrived in Paraguay on May 17th, 1983. They had meetings set up for me. In coming, I met with farmers and businessmen. In fact, that night we had the very first organizational meeting of the Paraguayan farmers. I met with the Minister of Commerce, the Minister of Agriculture, and this is the Minister of Commerce. The other one was the Minister of Agriculture. Can you go back, Steve? Okay, here this man is actually Hernando Bertoni. He is the grandson of Moise Bertoni, after whom stevia is named. So I thought this was quite an honor to meet this gentleman. Later I met with Jose Martino Vargas, the director of the National Institute of Technology and Normalization in Paraguay, like our FDA. From him, I learned that stevia had been in use among the Guarani Indians for 1,500 years of recorded history. Now, what is fascinating here, if you go back and learn a little bit of history here, the Jesuit priests settled in Paraguay in the 1500s. They were able to take the leaves from the yerba mate trees, dry them, and ship them back to Spain. So yerba mate became very popular in Europe, even in the 1500s. And interestingly, this particular mission of the Jesuit priests became the most wealthy in the world from yerba mate. They couldn't cultivate and tame the stevia plants, which were rainforest plants. Had they been able to do that and send the leaves back to Europe, we would have been enjoying stevia as the primary sweetener on the face of this earth. Not sugar, not artificial sweeteners, but stevia. But they weren't able to do it. In my first... let me just mention the first products that I developed, which are still available in stores all over the United States. We cut and sifted stevia, put it in tea bags, and begin to market that. It's very beneficial besides being a sweetener. We created a stevia concentrated dark liquid simply by cooking stevia leaves, which is extraordinarily beneficial to the human body. And, of course, being able to get one up on the Jesuit priest, we took the yerba mate leaves and added stevia to it and created yerba mate royale. So now we had a product that gave energy and mental alertness, was sweet and delicious. And then, of course, the Simfree, which is what we call the blend of stevia and the other two rainforest herbs for colds and flu. About that time, I began to really develop my vision for stevia. What I realized was stevia could become an accepted sweetener in the United States. Now, I didn't know how hard it was going to be, but this was my vision. And if that could happen, it would provide a cash crop for the poor farmers of South America, replacing drug-producing plants. We're still working on that project. This is a letter from Dennis DeConcini, Senator DeConcini, supporting our stevia, and we're trying to, even back then, get stevia to reduce the drug trade. In 1903, I developed another vision for stevia. For those 20 years, I had been using stevia, taking the whole leaves. When I finished with it, I would put that and the yerba mate residue in my garden, on my plants. And I used to give lectures a lot, and I'd encourage people to do that. Well, all the reports and my experience were that it stimulated plant growth. The plants were more robust and healthy. The Japanese began to do research in this area. In fact, our little company in Paraguay was sending them the particular form of stevia to do this research. What they learned was stevia restores the nutrients to the soil. A stevia leaf has about 100 different nutrients. So when you use it, you're not just getting a sweet taste, you're nourishing the human body. But interestingly, when you use it as a soil conditioner, it nourishes the microbes that are in the soil that are required by the plants for good growth. Without these microbes, plants do not grow well and they don't produce. It also stimulates the growth and development of earthworms, which are absolutely essential for healthy plants and good crop production. There's a compound in the stevia called gibberellin, which stimulates root growth of plants and helps them become more robust. Then, the fruit production. Plants produce better fruit when they have been nourished with stevia. Interestingly, you can allow them to ripen on the vine. And the important part of this is we all buy our fruits and vegetables in grocery stores, and they've been picked green. Vitamins and minerals develop in the last stages of the ripening process. So stevia will help them to ripen on the vine, and it slows down the spoilage. So they last for days and weeks longer than fruits and vegetables normally would. Now, in 1985, I experienced my first real setback. Vegetarian Times did a little two-paragraph article about me and stevia and what it could mean. And I got a call from the FDA that I had to report to their office in Phoenix. Now, the interesting part of this was in 1983, I took the little bottle of stevia concentrate and my herbs to them. And I said, I'd like to import these and market them. What do I have to do so I'll have no problem with the FDA? The answer was, oh, Mr. May, we know all about stevia. It's perfectly safe. You have no problems at all as long as the consumer doesn't make a complaint. That was in 1983. In November of 85, after this article in Vegetarian Times, I was required to come into the office. The agent kind of shuffled and hemmed and hawed and finally said, oh, Jim, and by this time we were on first-name basis, we don't want to do this. We have put it off as long as we can, but the Washington office has demanded that we stop you from selling stevia in the United States. They did offer me a deal, which was if I just stopped, they'd make no recorded record of it, so there'd be no blemish on my record as an importer and seller of herbal products. What had happened is that the GD Cereal Company that had developed aspartame, NutraSweet, and Equal had sent their entire team of lawyers to Washington to demand that this little Arizona company be stopped from selling stevia. Now, the product that offended GD Cereal was this concentrate of which I was selling maybe $200 a month worth. I mean, it was nothing. But GD Cereal was really upset, and they were out to stop stevia. And it's interesting the way they did it. GD Cereal, the pharmaceutical company, had developed aspartame in 1965 to be a prescription-only drug for peptic ulcers. The chemist working with it accidentally spilled some on his hand, later inadvertently licked his hand, realized this was sweet, went to the management. They decided this wasn't a prescription drug, this was a sweetener. So they worked from 1965 to about 1980 trying to get it approved. Nearly every scientist in the country said it was harmful and they would not approve it. So what the company did, the drug company, they hired Donald Rumsfeld as the president of the company, and his mission was to get aspartame approved as a sweetener. So with his political strings, they were able to get rid of the current FDA commissioner, hired Arthur Hayes, who then overruled all of the scientists, approved aspartame as a sweetener. A few weeks later, resigned and went to work for the PR company that represented the manufacturer. So it's an interesting history. That product is allowed on the market, and yet constant obstacles being presented before stevia, which is completely safe. Well, with this obstacle, I decided I had to do something. And basically, I had been given lemons by the FDA, so I decided that if I added stevia to lemons, I could have a nice sweet lemonade, and that's what I did. I went back to the teachings of the Guarani people, changed the label on my concentrate so that it was a skin refiner, because I had been taught by them that stevia, this dark liquid, is a wonderful healing product for the skin. And I began to learn the incredible benefits, because as I would actually sell it for this purpose, women would call me and tell me how they were using it as a facial mask, which I was taught was good. And they would just take this thick liquid, put it over their face, leave it on for 30 to 60 minutes, and it would reduce the wrinkles. It would smooth them out. It would soften the skin. Repeated use would remove blemishes. They begin to call and say, if I put it on acne, they go away. This was just incredible. We found out that you put a drop on a herpes outbreak on the lip, kills the virus, and the herpes clears up much, much faster. Now, why does it kill the virus? Because the sweet glycosides in stevia are of a chain that harmful bacteria and many viruses cannot digest. But it's sweet, and so they simply eat themselves into starvation. Stevia is just incredible. I've used it for 25 years in cuts and wounds of all kinds, which I learned from the Guarani people. If you get a cut, you put the liquid in there, burns for about 45 seconds, Then it anesthetizes the wound, kills the bacteria, seals it closed, and it literally heals from the bottom up and will never leave a scar. I've had MDs call me and say, I can't believe it. I can literally watch the flesh as it knits itself back together. I've had MDs call me and tell me they used it on burns with amazing success. And one of the things that women like to do is make stevia tea out of the tea bags. And after they've done that, put it on the eyes like you see advertised for cucumbers. And the skin absorbs the liquid and just smooths out the wrinkles. Probably the most fascinating use I was ever told about. A woman called me one day and she said, I just had to call you and tell you what happened. She said, I'm a nurse. Yesterday, because there's such a nursing shortage, I had to work double shift. I came home and was just exhausted. My body was sore. I was miserable. She said, I don't know why, but I just had this impression to put stevia tea bags in my bath water. So she said, I ran a nice, warm bath, put in 15 tea bags and got in. She said, it was just wonderful, relaxing. She said, I felt terrific. She probably tasted good, too. Now, interestingly, back in 1983, when I began to work with stevia and want to bring it in the United States, I had had a feeling of something I should not do, and that was not call it stevia. So I trademarked the name Honeyleaf, because the most ancient Guarani name for stevia was ka'erate, which means a leaf like honey. So with the trademark of Honeyleaf, I was able to put that on my tea boxes and keep bringing stevia into the United States, and nobody cared, as long as I didn't call it stevia. The next 4 years were a real financial struggle. I literally didn't earn a dime for 3 years, sold everything we owned, which didn't make my wife happy. I did promise her I wouldn't sell the house and I wouldn't sell one car. I'd moved from being an expert in my field, speaking all over the United States to hospital boards of directors, administration, physician groups, to becoming a quack and a total fool. For years to come, my friends thought I had lost my mind. You know, I'd become a complete quack. The fourth year, I finally was able to take $16,000 out of the company. Now, let's talk about grass petitions to the FDA. You all know that grass is possible as well as the food additive sweetener approval. In 1988, Oscar Rhodes, you know, many of you know Oscar, he developed the sweetener Civita. He and I traveled to Brazil. I had been asked to come and meet with these two brothers here. Oscar is the one on the far left. These brothers had built an extraction facility for stevia extract, and they wanted to know what they would have to do to be able to market it in the United States. I had called Dr. Kinghorn and discussed this with him, and he said, well, it will take $2 million minimum in 5 years. When I told them that, it was just devastating. Nevertheless, when we got back to the United States, and this happens to be Dr. Alvarez, who is one of the scientists who's done a lot of stevia research and a lot of publication on stevia. But when Oscar and I got back to the United States, he went ahead and filed a grass petition with the FDA. It was ignored. The Lipton Tea Company filed a petition for grass status in 1989. It was ignored. And the American Herbal Products Association filed a petition in 1991. It was ignored. They would not even read it. Now, I happen to know that for a fact because I talked to one of the agents of the FDA who would have been involved in reviewing these studies. And I asked him, what do we have to do to be allowed to sell stevia as a sweetener? He said, well, we're waiting for a 2-year rat study showing that stevia is safe. Will both the Lipton tea application and the American Herbal Products one had two-year rat studies, so they had simply never bothered to read them. Now, I'd like to just quickly mention what I consider to be, and I'm trying to see my time here, I need to hurry, a blatant deception. According to the Paraguayan ambassador to the United States, with whom I met in Washington, our DEA went to Paraguay in 1989, trying to convince the Paraguayan government to stop the farmers from growing stevia. They agreed to do it, but said, what do our farmers grow? They have to earn a living. The answer was, have them grow stevia. It's a perfect crop. It's a wonderful cash crop, and it has a growing market in the United States. So that's in 1989. The Paraguayan government gets the farmers to do that. They harvest their crops. They begin to send them to the United States, and guess what happens? The FDA bans stevia. You cannot bring it into the United States, literally declaring war on everybody that has anything to do with stevia. You all know about the FDA import alert. On May 17, 1991, the FDA issued an alert titled Automatic Detention of Stevia Leaves, Steviacide, and Foods Containing Stevia. This is a total ban on importing stevia. The FDA document stated that stevia is an unsafe food additive and that its use in foods constituted an adulteration of the foods. Now, I looked up adulterate in the dictionary. It means to weaken or make impure by adding a foreign or inferior substance. It means to prepare for sale by replacing a more valuable with a less valuable ingredient. Now, I guarantee you, stevia is more valuable to the human body than any food or beverage that's ever been put in. Now, this quote is from the next page of the FDA alert. And just compare this now with the two. Stevia leaves are a native product of Brazil and Paraguay. They have been used throughout history. And the extract, steviacide, has reportedly been approved for use in foods in Brazil and Japan. The product is used in these countries as a tabletop sweetener in virtually all food commodities and as a flavor enhancer in such products as teas. The steviacide is reportedly 250 to 3 times sweeter than sugar and contributes no calories to the diet. Now, the FDA published that and at the same time forbids us to use the word sweet to describe stevia or that it improves the flavor of anything. And this was all done in light of documents and research that Dr. Kinghorn sent to them. By that time, there had been over 500 published scientific reports attesting to the safety of stevia. And by 2002, he reported there were over 1,000. In 1983, I went to Washington to meet with the Arizona congressional delegation. And it was very interesting. That's when I met with the Paraguayan ambassador. But Senator John McCain and John Kyle and Dennis DeConcini wrote letters supporting stevia. I'd like to get a hold of John McCain again and remind him that in 93 he wrote letters to the FDA supporting it. John Kyle, who's now a senator, wrote a very strong letter supporting stevia. He showed me the one he got back. It was a terse, ignorant letter from the FDA. Anyway, with all this going on, I'd like to read with you quickly a poem that I wrote with Oscar Rhodes and myself in mind back in 2002 when I was writing this book on stevia. Then I want to get into the medical benefits for the last 15 minutes. This is called Stevia's Lament. Beast of favored secret lair, with fierceness did arise to observe the approach of the innocent, the unwise. Who doth disturb my serenity, the sweetness of my territory? Who seeks to glean a measure of my fortune and my glory? I seek neither fortune nor fame, only healing for a son and daughter. Sneering lip, nostrils aflame, cowardly plan, I'll roast him for my fodder. Beastly preserve approached by others, eager to bask in terrain so sweet, breath on fire, ghastly roar, trespassers in required retreat. Likened not to warriors brave in fables long since told, these timid ones possess no shield, no weapon to battle beast so bold. With sword and shield, who will stand and save my helpless little ones? Who will slay the dragon fierce and rescue fearful, frightened sons? Who can withstand the powerful glare of beast and servant in union unholy? Who will brave the breath of fire and extinguish the servant's horrid folly? Here am I, here are we, shout journalist, doctor, politician. Pen is mightier than the sword. We accept that glorious mission. Now, the reality is, without journalists, doctors, politicians, and more recently, scientists worldwide, and you, who have been helping to sell stevia to Americans, stevia would not be on the crest of the wave where it resides today. Stevia is in numerous products in the health food stores, and let me just quickly give you some of the ideas. You can buy stevia leaves, you can buy it in tea bags, you can buy it in a concentrate, in various extracts of steviacides and robotiacides. It can be purchased in powdered blends. I would suggest that if you sell it in the powdered blends, that is the extract, some of it's in a blend of maltodextrin, you ought to have your consumers read the labels, because maltodextrin has a higher glycemic index than sugar, and no diabetic should be using it. You may also look at others. We chose to use inulin, which is extremely good for the human body. There are clear liquids coming out with stevia. We've done it with many, many flavors, and they're just absolutely delicious. Now, let me just quickly pass over with you the benefits of stevia to the human body. Now, these are anecdotal. These are what I learned from the Guarani Indians of Paraguay, and these are the benefits that I have experienced with hundreds and hundreds of people over 25 years. And the benefits are the result of the nutritional value of stevia leaves. So in one or more of its consumer forms, stevia has been known to improve pancreatic function, reduce insulin required by diabetics, lessen the incidences of colds and flu. In fact, Dr. Daniel Mowry is here, and he wrote a pamphlet many years ago and stated why stevia reduces the incidence of colds and flu. It lowers high blood pressure. It lowers high blood sugar. Stevia will raise low blood sugar. It will aid in fat loss and weight control. It controls appetite. It suppresses the desire to smoke tobacco. Stevia actually reduces the desire for people to smoke. It acts as a healthful chew. If people are using tobacco and they need to get off of it, stevia leaves will take care of the problem. It inhibits the growth of oral bacteria. It reduces tooth decay and plaque. It stops bleeding gums and other infections. It inhibits the growth and reproduction of several harmful bacteria and viruses. It'll stop a sore throat in 30 seconds. Relieve upset stomach and food poisoning because of what it does to the virus and the bacteria. Although good bacteria can digest it perfectly. It helps to heal seborrhea, dermatitis, and eczema. It accelerates the healing of herpes outbreaks we mentioned. It stops bleeding, cuts, and sores, and wounds of all kind. It lowers pain, increases energy, enhances mental and physical stamina. It softens facial and all bodily skin, reduces facial wrinkles, acts as a gentle diuretic. It helps, listen to this one, it helps to heal skin cancer. And I've had many people call me and tell me about that. I'm going to read a comment from the scientists to say the same thing. It improves health and vitality and acts as a preservative for food and cosmetics. Now let me just quickly share with you many of the statements from the scientists. These are the actual studies now being published. Some of them are rather old, but nevertheless, this is what is now known about stevia. I'll just tell you the name of the study and the conclusion. This is from Safety and Utilization of the Stevia Sweetener. And you'll notice that every one of these, the scientists call it a sweetener. It is suggested that stevia will become a major natural sweetener in the future. In the study, they reported no harmful effects of stevia. Stevia even shows suppression towards several oral bacteria. This fact may prove the effectiveness of stevia sweetener for prevention of dental caries or tooth decay. This study reviewed the safety of steviacide used as a sweetener. Conclusion: stevia and steviacide have been consumed by hundreds of millions of people during a very long period of time, both by adults and by children, without giving the smallest indication of any harmful effects. It continues, the quality of life of the steviacide group significantly increased, as seen by better physical functioning, emotional and physical role limitation, body pain, general health protection, vitality, and social functioning. No influence on mental health was observed. Continues, no problems have been published in scientific literature concerning nutritional, microbiological, toxicological, and/or allergenicity. All of the above, together with a well-organized follow-up, makes stevia sweeteners possibly one of the safest sweeteners on the market. Another study called Steviol Glycosides as Intense Sweeteners. Steviacide is unlikely to produce hypoglycemia or hypotension in humans in concentrations encountered in the diet. Studies previously reviewed by JECFA, this is the Joint Expert Committee on Food Additives of the World Health Organization, confirmed the low toxicity potential of steviacide. On this basis, there are unlikely to be any safety issues associated with use of steviacide as a sweetener. Another study called the Double-Blind Placebo-Controlled Study on the Effectiveness and Tolerability of Oral Steviacide in Human Hypertension. And here's the conclusion. This study was designed to evaluate the effect of steviacide in human hypertension. No significant adverse effect was observed, and the quality of life assessment showed no deterioration. Conclusion, this study showed that oral steviacide is well-tolerated and an effective modality that may be considered as an alternative or supplementary therapy for patients with hypertension, high blood pressure. Excuse me. This study is entitled The Efficacy and Tolerability of Oral Steviacide in Patients with Mild Hypertension, a 2-year randomized placebo-controlled study. The quality of life scores were significantly improved overall with steviacide compared with placebo. In this 2-year study in Chinese patients with mild hypertension, oral steviacide significantly decreased systolic blood pressure and diastolic blood pressure compared with placebo. Quality of life was improved and no significant adverse effects were noted. just a few more. But what I'm trying to do is show you that in light of all the things being written today by newspapers and magazines where they know absolutely nothing about what they're writing, science tells us that stevia is absolutely safe. And you can be comfortable in recommending it to your customers and stores. Now, you can't tell them the medical benefits and what it'll do for their health, but you can be comfortable in saying, look, try it. I think you'll enjoy this. Again, from the safety of steviocide as a sweetener. After 2 years, the steviocide group showed significant decreases in blood pressure. By their own measurements, the patients noted that these decreases had already started about 1 week after the start of the treatment, and it persisted throughout the study. The quality of life of the steviocide group significantly increased as seen by a better physical functioning, emotional and physical role limitation, body pain, general perception, vitality, and social functioning. No influence on mental health was observed. Let me skip through. I want to get just a couple more that I think will be quite impressive to you. There's several more on blood pressure and blood sugar and how it brings everything into balance. Forgive me for skipping through this, but there's just so many of them. This one you'll find really interesting. It's the safety evaluation of certain food additives by the World Health Organization. Their statement is that it is not associated with any toxicity, and steviocide was found to inhibit the promotion of skin tumors in a model of skin carcinogenesis in mice. Now, I found that absolutely fascinating because I've had so many people call me and tell me that it inhibited their skin tumors. Again, the World Health Organization has found that there's no evidence of genotoxicity either in vitro test tubes or in vivo with living animals and human beings. Stevia is just safe. And this last one from Dr. Goens in Belgium, he says, steviocide is not carcinogenic. It has been proved that steviocide reduces breast cancer in rats as well as skin cancer in animal models. What has been proven in numerous studies now is stevia really helps kill cancer cells, as does yerba mate. That science is out, and there's science out that Padiarco does. What we have in the herbal world, I believe, let me put it this way, I believe that God created the cure for every disease experienced by man from natural forces in the plant world. Somehow we have to convince the world that they need to be using plants first. If the herbs don't work, then go to something stronger. But herbs have no side effects. They're just good for the human body. Now back to the idea of whom do you trust, and kind of to finish up here. What we've discussed, and I'm sorry, with the lighting as it is, it's a little hard to see this, and I haven't moved around much. One of the things we're doing, in fact, we're going back to South America next week to work with the farmers and with the governments of Colombia and Paraguay in helping them to persuade the farmers to stop growing marijuana and coca and convert to stevia. There are 25 family farmers in Colombia who have done that, and they can earn a good living at it. But what we have to do here is get more people to buying stevia so that there's a market for the crops, and we're telling them we're going to buy what you have, but we also have to be able to sell it. I see stevia as a solution to America and the world's health problems. Stevia is the only sweetener on the face of the earth that generates improved health and well-being while it sweetens food and beverage. Not to mention toothpaste, mouthwash, and numerous other products that are yet to come, even if it must hide behind this ridiculous veil of a dietary supplement. As you can see from what I've said, the potential is that stevia will be an aid in reducing world hunger, because stevia can be taken to these countries where the soil is so bad that it won't produce crops. We can use stevia to nourish the soil, stimulate the growth of earthworms, of the microbes that are essential for plant growth, and grow better crops. And once the people in these third world countries in Africa and India and around the world are growing better crops, they can grow stevia for other purposes, but they can use them themselves. Stevia just has incredible potential. Now, you're all aware that Coca-Cola and Carvel have announced that they're getting stevia approved as a sweetener by next year. And they will. They have the money. They will do whatever is necessary, and they will get it approved. And then these corporate giants will try to obliterate all of us little guys who brought stevia to the American consumer. Because the potential profits to be gained in food, beverage, and medicines are just incredibly enormous. And I've been asked about this. What are you going to do? You know, what's going to happen to you? And I guess what I've come up with is just this consolation. At least the public will benefit with fewer incidences of obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, cavities, gum disease, and a myriad of other conditions not yet understood, and perhaps even cardiovascular disease. And yes, there is a theoretical link between the use of stevia and a reduction in cardiovascular disease. We don't have time to go into it. Now, as you order and sell stevia in an ever-increasing volume to the extraordinary benefit of your customers, please remember us little guys who made it all possible. Thank you, and viva stevia. I don't know if we're allowed to take any more time, but if you have any questions. Yes, sir. Yes, Japan, you know, we won the military war. Japan won the war for a say sweetener. Basically what happened during World War II, both our NIH and the governments of Great Britain were investigating stevia as a sweetener to replace sugar because all the sugar was going to the soldiers. The war ended. And so both countries quit, went back to subsidizing sugar beets and sugar cane. Japan was a 100% importer of sugar. They realized that stevia could create a new industry in agriculture and in production of a sweetener. So they sent their farmers, their scientists to Paraguay. They learned how to grow stevia, they learned what to do with it, and then they smuggled it out of Paraguay, both seeds and plants. And they began to grow it in the hothouses in Japan, and blessed them for doing this. The equivalent of the American FDA in Japan approved stevia after the research was presented to them, and allowed it to be sold as a sweetener. Now, by the time I learned about stevia in 1982, stevia had a 40% market as a commercial sweetener in Japan. Ultimately, before long, they simply couldn't grow enough stevia for their needs. So they took the plants to China and taught the Chinese farmers how to grow it because labor was so cheap. So China has become the world's leading producer of stevia plants and the extracts because the communist government realize the potential of stevia and of capitalism, and they begin to subsidize the farmers and industrialists to do this. But the Japanese are just way ahead of us. We're trying to catch up. We're doing some interesting things in South America, and we're looking for some significant increases in the quality and the taste of stevia in the very near future. Does that answer your question? Yeah. If you love stevia, bless the Japanese. Yes, if you really want to, you know, if you can take the leaves after you're through with them and put them out there, but if you take the concentrate and simply use it as a soil conditioner, just put it in with your plants, and then as they grow and they're beginning to produce fruit and you're getting close to harvest time, take a diluted form and spray it over the plants. Now what's going to happen, the plants are going to absorb the sweet glycosides and transfer them into the fruit and vegetables. And it just has an incredible taste. Last year, I tried my own experience with this. I planted 8 tomato plants, went through this process. They grew extraordinarily fast. I've never seen tomatoes grow so fast. These 8 plants produced a hedge that was about 16 feet long, about 3.5 feet deep, and it was right against a wall, and about 4 feet high. And I couldn't even pick all the tomatoes. I couldn't get back through the hedge to reach the ones in the back. And just for fun, I'd pick them and set them up on the counter and leave them for days and days and days, and they didn't spoil. In time, they will, of course. But the potential of stevia for the agricultural industry and for home gardens is just incredible. So this is why I have such a passion for stevia. And what I've learned about it, it's wonderful. It really is. We need to convince the American public to add stevia to their daily diet and forget all these stupid articles they read saying it's harmful, because it is not. Those articles are being disseminated by the artificial sweetener industry. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Well, good question. I had a man call me once. Now, I'm not recommending anybody do this, okay? But I told him how this is the only thing I'd done for many, many years, just put it in cuts and so forth. They healed so miraculously. He called me and he said, well, I underwent surgery, and I decided, and he had used it for a few years on more minor things. He said, I decided to try it on my incision. So I didn't tell my doctor, but I just put the stevia concentrate on the incision. He said it healed perfectly and left no scar. Now, again, I don't recommend that. But stevia is incredibly healing externally. No, they really don't. But stevia, you know, reducing the desire to smoke, reducing the desire to use marijuana, it is just incredible what it will do for us if we just get smart enough to use it and to recommend to your customers that they use it. You can't make the claims, but you can surely feel secure in telling them to use it. Now, let me give you one quick little anecdotal story. Took my son, Michael, trout fishing up in the White Mountains of Arizona. He woke up one morning and he had an outbreak of pimples. And he was older. He was embarrassed. And I said, well, it's okay, Michael. I've got my stevia concentrate and I never go anywhere without it. Kind of like Paladin wasn't Anyway, I dabbed the back of his neck. And so he had all these little black splotches on the back of his neck. Well, we're out fishing. He finds a hole that's just teeming with trout. And he's catching these trout. And some guy upstream saw him. He wasn't catching any. Saw Michael catching all these trout. So he pulled in his line and he ran down to where my son was and says, "You don't mind if I fish here with you, do you?" And he threw his line in. Well, Michael was just taking a trout off his hook, and he turned his back on the guy who saw all the black spots, and it just terrified him. And he said, "Oh, I think I'll go fish somewhere else." So, if you're going fishing up in the mountains, take your concentrate so you can scare away the people who would take away your hole. Thank you very much for coming.